Hello everyone and welcome to episode 7 of Pongcast. This episode is a limited edition version for reasons I will allow Alex to explain.
Why me?
Allow me the honors if you do it. It's an early morning edition. So where it's, I wouldn't say it's too early for me, but in terms of Alex's time zone, would you like to explain what time it is?
I wasn't aware that there was an hour before 7. I thought that, you know, you go to bed around the 10, 11 mark, and when you wake up in the morning, the clock starts at 7, but no, apparently it starts at 6.
You can look at a clock and say, oh, I've never seen that at 6 a.m. before, and just have a good laugh yourself.
Nat, when she does her day shifts, Nat's actually she operates a massive printing press, German printing press. When they go to work, they do 12-hour shifts. So she was up at 5 a.m. And, you know, I'm the lazy sod that stays in bed. And this morning, due to my in-laws being delayed, their flight getting cancelled from their holiday, I am now stuck with the children for 2 days, which means that I have very limited time. So it meant for a 6:25 a.m. podcast recording. And that is why I sound like shit. Apologies.
I mean, I probably sound like shit as well, but I really don't have an excuse. It is after 10 at my time.
No, you don't have an excuse. You're Irish. It's that simple.
I get up at 4 a.m. 3 times a week for this. It's all good. But okay, we have a little rant out of the way. Things we do, huh? So, how are things at the moment on the end of CooperCon?
Everything's absolutely fine. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening. We appreciate our patrons. I'm going to bed now. No, things are good. Things are good. What jumps to mind? Just, you know, kind of on a general Final Fantasy topic. I know that you got your copy of Ultimania recently.
Yes, correct.
Have you had a flick through?
I haven't. I've been kind of debating whether it's worth some sort of prize down the line, so I haven't actually opened it yet.
Don't be ridiculous. Don't do that.
Oh,
it's a lovely book.
I can always get myself another one, but I haven't opened it yet. I just haven't this thing where I can't decide whether to clean film and all, and just not yet. I probably will.
I took the wrap off. It's worth it. The book is quite well printed.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm quite chuffed with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a Dark Horse series, is that they'd want to publish it, and I think they have plans to make the next set from, I think, 7.
I already
to 12,
have that
so.
One pre-ordered. Oh,
yeah. Impressive. Very nice.
Yeah, what's this one? This one's 1 to 6, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then the next 8, one's 7, 9, 8, 9.
And then and probably do more, 10, 12, yeah, 13, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but are they going to skip 11? That would be sinister.
Who knows? <Yep. laughs> You know, just speaking on merch like that, have you actually had a listen to their 30th anniversary tracks yet?
I have not. I am guilty of that.
Yeah.
Tables How many tracks are on there?
Oh, there's quite a lot. They take about 5 from each game or so. So it is quite a lot.
I will get to it. I've just been slightly derailed recently.
Just a touch busy as well.
Well, I mean, Pomathon is like less than 4 weeks away. And I haven't mentioned this prior because, you know, who cares? But I'm moving home. I'm moving into a new house. We're in the like final stages of beginning construction of it. Like, it's hard to explain, but we're about to begin construction on a new house. So life is very busy at the moment, which doesn't help. And, generally life is just stupidly busy. But in the CooperCon sphere, yes, there has been a fair bit going on. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where to begin.
I just want to interject for a second because I think people like to have these jokes about how similar we are, you know, from names just alone. But you're, you know, working on getting a new house built, and I've got an extension.
You've got construction.
Exactly. At the back at the same time. It's just, we don't plan these things. It just happens.
It's creepy.
But yeah, on a CooperCon front, we were having a nice discussion last night all about our music plans.
Oh, for the evening. So we're kind of feeling like we're going to roll, and I welcome some feedback on this. Everyone's going to be dressed up. Everyone's going to be in the mood, unlike me right now. and we're trying to kind of come up with a style of music that would suit. So in the past in the UK, we've only had Final Fantasy music. But in Vancouver, at some point in the night, we said, no, that's it. And we switched over to some playlists of just general music. And to be quite frank with you, I felt that it loosened things up and it was good. So we're going to do something similar. But for the opening, we're thinking kind of we're going to lean towards a jazzy kind of opening. Mm. Lead into some of the classic Final Fantasy songs, you know, like the waltz from 8, which is very ball-like, and there's some mm-hmm. great songs from 15 actually that would be very suitable, very classical. Mm. Then true. Back into the jazz again, performances from Neo and Maiko, and that's going to be something to remember. We actually mm-hmm. have their set list, and yes. they are expanding out of, and I don't want to say anything because I think it'll spoil it, mm-hmm. but maybe a bit closer to the time, but they are planning on performing other Final Fantasy songs, and yeah. I am told that they remixed Calling for Rain for us, especially for a live performance, and not on only that, they're working on an extended version of the original song for the Kinga. What was the other name I came up with? The Libertas line, yeah, something like that.
Libby line. That's new to me.
I sent him a message the other day and said, "Should I get a T-shirt with Libertits printed on it?" I don't think he liked that. And the other day, I forget who it was now, but someone called him. We were talking about. Did you see John was posted a tweet of him in a cardboard box? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so someone said, this is how I imagine Alex Maine wakes up on the morning of KubaCon. And it was a picture of John inside a box. And I said, I sent back a lol, like it made me laugh. And I was like, that's funny. And I said, unfortunately, Liam got ruined in storage. And someone sent back # Liam Moldy. Oh my God. I actually nearly broke down.
Oh, poor Liam. I mean, he doesn't even know what to expect at the evening, let alone all these, you know, puns in the name.
Oh, he knows what to expect. He knows Tinky Winky's coming for him.
He knows that bit. He doesn't know the other bit. No one else, I think, knows the other bit. One or two people.
Oh, the genitalia thing? Yeah. Anyway, we've said way too much already. Moving on. Well, that's the kind of the flow of the evening. And then around after Neo's done, which will be about 45 minutes, coming on to the 10 o'clock mark, the beat drops. We got some Final Fantasy remix music. And then from around 11 o'clock onwards, that's when the normal music will just kick in, just normal upbeat chart music. So yeah, that's kind of what we're thinking. Feedback, mm-hmm. welcome.
Yeah, any song suggestions along the lines? You know, we might pick one or two if you have something good for us. Let us know in the comments.
As long as we don't end up with things like, you know, follow the yellow brick road and all that jazz. You know, it's got to work. yeah.
Yep, you'll hear it if you want. So.
God, my chair is creaking a lot at the moment. It needs a little bit of WD-40.
Yeah, well, if it's any consolation, a pop filter has fallen loose, so I'm holding it up with one hand, and with the other hand I'm holding my earphones in place, because otherwise I can only hear through one earphone. So it's incredibly uncomfortable, but pretty, it's all good at the moment. But if it makes you feel better
and you'd like some detail, I'm currently sat at my desk in my underwear, and because it's still, you know, it may only be 6 a.m, it's still hot and humid, that my legs are sticking to the leather of the chair.
I can feel that as well, because I've had to close the windows and on account of the builders, and the sun is shining right in on a sunlight, and I'm boiling at the moment.
This episode's crap, you know, it's just garbage. Yeah,
the hosts feel like garbage, the episode is garbage. Yeah. No, we've plenty still to go.
So what else? We've got some new Gen 3 cards in the works, slowly but surely, should be revealing another 4 in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Got some new tripod mats that came in. The lightning one is going to be available at Pomathon. That's the new Limit Break lightning one, which was revealed a couple episodes back, I think. Mm. What else is going on?
And I believe there's also an image of that put in the group, as well as the hoodie that Nat was sporting.
Yeah, Nat's been teasing people. That's Nat.
She knows her job. Go.
Yeah, Nat likes to, for sure, she likes to tease people with stuff that comes in, but she was delighted with the hoodie. She was also delighted when I shown her the final copy of Mo's book yesterday. She was delighted to see the line in the foreword there, the little...
Oh, yes.
She was really quite touched with that. I think I seen a little bit of water in her eye there. So I think she was quite touched, because sometimes I think that, like, people don't... And I'm guilty of this. You know I've done this before, that I've gone on stage and I thanked everyone. And then I'm like, I didn't thank Nat. Nat's like the unsung hero, you know?
No, I agree.
Like, and the last three or four events I have remembered, it was the first couple that I didn't. I think it was the Big Pom is the one where I messed up. Anyway, she wasn't angry at me, but, you know, she had a right to be a little ticked. It was an honest mistake. But she definitely is the unsung hero. She does a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You know, not necessarily directly, but she allows me to do all this. She allows me to bounce a billion ideas off of her and discuss them with her. And then I go, you know, I need your feedback. And she goes, well, this is what I think. And I go, well, I don't care, but I'm going to do it anyway. And, yeah, she's quite the trooper, and especially on the day too. She works herself to the bone. So a lot of the time she flies in Christ-like the night before the event, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The stamina she shows during the day is incredible. It really is. I think if there's any consolation about the Big Pom, if memory serves, we didn't have a closing ceremony in the way we've had closing ceremonies in the past. It was
very rushed. Yeah,
kind of in the moment.
I mean, let's face it, we were trying to learn scheduling, and because a lot of people didn't know what to expect with the Big Pom, they'd only kind of scheduled to go for a few hours, like, because they figured it was going to be the same all day. So by the end of the day, we dwindled a fair number, I think. The Big Pom was like a beginning pointer. Everything was a bit all over the shop. But hey, people enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's all that really matters, right?
The demand to come back was there, and hence in about 10 months or so, you'll be back.
And talking of which, as I do every morning, I wake up and I have a bunch of emails. And I do recall seeing an email from Jolyn. I do. Jolyn is five on the. We decided to commission her to work on a portal artwork. Which, for anyone who's been following KoopaCon from the beginning, will know that actually that's quite a big deal. Because this would be the first artwork, non-wave artwork for a portal, and we decided we wanted to change it up a little bit for this one. And Wave has been fairly busy with her tournaments recently. I'll leave her Twitter and Facebook feed to fill you in on that one. So we had an idea, which I mentioned in the last episode there, how that guy ripped off the design, which we were not pleased about. Anyway, I have the final piece, so I'm going to open it for the first time.
Oh, exciting.
Okay, so, hi Alex, blah, 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 just let me know what you think. I have a touch, blah, 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 if you want, blah, 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 blah. Wow.
And that's the final piece.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I'm going to say she is good.
I mean, if people
I'm going to send this to you now.
Gotcha. If people want a vague idea what to expect, just think back to the Mogzart album covers. That's the same artist we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the colors and the styling is going to be pretty gorgeous.
Take a peek at that. If you've got enough hands.
Yeah. Just managing it. There we go. Oh, wow. I'll describe it as ethereal or something. It's just, it's its own thing. It's really beautiful.
It's very unique in comparison to what we've had previously, right? Very.
This is wildly different. Absolutely stunning.
But I like it. Anyway, that's very cryptic. We've just spent like a minute just kind of faffing. we're New Jersey details are going to be in the next Goopacast, not this one coming up on Sunday, which, by the way, I'm hosting with Nat. So that should be interesting. So the one after, which is going to be the one just after Pomathon, that's when we're going to jump into details for
Olo Gen 3 and whatnot.
For the bigger Pom, I'll have a lot of information.
Cool.
I don't know if I've mentioned this previously, but we're going to be making hunt posters, individual posters now. I think that's just something that's been discussed behind the scenes. I'm not sure if I mentioned it already.
Behind the scenes only, as far as I'm aware.
So hunt posters are now individual ones that you can keep because everyone wants them. It's like Savage Beast time, isn't it, when a poster goes up. Everyone's like, get out of the way. And they're like pulling off the tab. And they're like, oh, there's no tabs. I'm going to take the poster. Moogle. You know, it's quite intense. So I think it would be wise to allow people to have full posters. So be it. One of the posters this time for Pomathon is a duo poster, which means you need to find two cosplayers, which I thought was interesting.
And as a little tip, that's one of our premium ones. So
it is, yes.
Yes, but naturally. Well,
I think we had to give him a little bit more. The workshops make their return. They are fresh workshops. However, two people have asked me for origami. You crazy people. And, okay, fine. We'll add the origami back again. Nobody can do it, but whatever. I'll make the guild reward very, very high.
Oh, very nice. I've seen some good attempts at Vancouver, actually.
I must admit, there's usually one or two people that do very good. Then there's probably a handful that come out looking like they're a few jeans short of a pool. And, you know, and I don't mean the person making it, by the way. I mean the actual chocobo. Like, it's always slightly deformed. And, then there's the really bad ones.
I feel like when they say, for example, if we had to establish a standard for what's acceptable at the kiosk, I feel like we'd have to go to Frida, who is going to be leading the kiosk on the day for us, and show her a completed origami piece and say, this is the standard for people to get the guild for this, but that would require us having to make it in the first place, so we'll just tell the co-op.
I've never attempted it. Maybe for fun I will try and attempt it and record myself and speed it up and see how long it takes 3 days later.
2 hour time lapse.
Trying to think, there's been so much like little detail going on recently that it's hard to pinpoint specifics. Well, I guess we should make notes in future.
I think we have mentioned it possibly in a passing tweet or along those lines. Obviously, as people know, it has been announced publicly that Dan Seto has resigned from his position as community manager.
Yes. We should talk about Dan. Okay, so here's the thing. A couple weeks ago, I got an email from Dan. And those of you know that we went out for a drink a couple weeks before that. And I reached out, and me and Dan have been working on some side projects for Pomathon. I won't say too much. But he sent me an email and was following up on something I'd asked. And he said, hey, Alex, I just wanted you to know that I've resigned. And I was like, oh my god. Not public knowledge, not going to be for a while, but I wanted you to be aware because, you know, you've got me down as a guest, and if you, you know, don't want to have me anymore, then I'd understand. And I was like, Dan, are you crazy? Like, you know. And he had to throw in there, he's like, you know, I wasn't fired. just in case you were wondering. You know, and actually, many of you probably saw Dan has actually gone to work for Warner Brothers.
Yes.
So, congratulations to him. But I said to Dan, I said, you know, naturally, we still want you to come. You were a huge part of Square Enix for 4 years. You are entirely relevant to everything that we're going to be talking about. Please come as our guest of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was delighted to.
Good.
So, you know, I would never turn him away just because of the obvious. He said, well, okay, let me put together some stuff for you to give away for the event. And I said, well, you know, I'm in Canada. I said, but just ship it to my mother's or whatever, and I'll get it when I arrive. Well, my mother sent me a picture of 6 gigantic boxes full to the brim with loot, with swag. And I sent Dan it was either a Facebook message or a tweet, I forget. And I can't actually tell you what I put because it was too expletive. But yes, thank you, Dan. Wow. I look forward to rummaging through those boxes. And as we've discussed, we're not going to give it away all at Pomathon. There's way too much stuff. So I'm going to, we'll keep some back for some of our upcoming events. Because when I say there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of stuff.
You hinted at some detail at one point. It is an awful lot. He's a real people's hero, Dan, that way, you know. So it'd be wonderful to have him there.
And not to lay on this is just a story. This is not me bragging, by the way. Well, I am a little bit. During I was a little tipsy, that we were talking about stuff, and I said, hey Dan, you came to Pomingham Palace and you gave away all this cool shit and you gave me nothing. And he's like, yeah, I said I did offer, and in apparently I turned around and said, why bother, I'll just go buy it anyway.
Wow.
And which sounds like something I would say, actually.
Good God.
So it does sound like something I'd say anyway. Well, I told them, I was like, you know, the one thing I didn't buy was the Final Fantasy 15 Ultimate Collector's Edition, because at the time I was skeptical that 15 was going to go anywhere. It's the honest truth.
Okay.
And even after 15 came out, I was fairly skeptical. But there's, like every good Final Fantasy, I think over time you will learn to appreciate it for its uniqueness. Like 13 gets a lot of shit. It may be a narrow game, but it's a damn good game, and I won't hear anyone say anything differently. I'll come at you, savage beast. So, I think that that was the one thing I regretted buying, because, you know, and I wasn't going to go buy it now. Like, eBay scalpers, $600-$700 a pop. Yeah. In saying that, even when it came out, it was fairly up there, wasn't it?
I think I actually bought it myself. I think it cost around 200.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, it was about 250, I think, euro.
Oof.
And the thing is, actually, I don't know what it was for. Some stage in KoopaCon, I think it was for the Fanworks contest or along those lines years ago. And I gave the PlayArts figure away as one of the major prizes at one point.
You did it.
I did.
Alan.
I did.
Oh, Alan.
I'm not one for
neither am
this.
I, but Alan.
You know me.
This is what I'm on about. You are very selfless. Anyway, stop giving your selfless story. Back to my story. I open the 6 boxes. Well, I don't open them. My mother does. There's a note in there saying, hi, Alex, here's a bunch of stuff to give away at KoopaCon. I grabbed as much as I could. Understatement. 6 boxes via courier. One of these, and I say one of these, which gives you an impression of how much stuff he sent. One of these Ultimate Collector's Editions is for you. See you in KoopaCon. Or see you at KoopaCon. And I was like, wow. So there's an Ultimate Collector's PS4 box set waiting for me in the UK. I was extremely touched by that.
Mm.
Like, I've had some cool stuff sent to me over the period of time from Square. And it's not the merch that sticks. It's the little notes. Like, I have a note from Kaori. And it says, to KoopaCon from the Final Fantasy 15 team. And it has a hand-drawn Moogle on it, and it's just on a post-it note.
Oh, I've seen that.
So that's like one of my prized possessions. Like, another prized possession I have is the I think it's like my knowledge is really poor. Is it a Dragon Ball figure, that the one that I was given to for Protsko?
Oh, I think so.
How do you say it? Is it Naruto? Is that how you say it? It's either that or it's Dragon Ball. I'm not sure. But anyway, I was given a figurine that was property of Andrew Protsko's, and that was extremely moving. As you know, I got quite moved by that.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd cracked a KoopaCon. but at least that one was behind closed doors.
What one was that?
That was the big pom.
The very first one, yeah.
We were all sat at the table upstairs in the boardroom, and he handed it to me, and I just cracked.
You know, I used to quite like seeing the images of the mini, I think it's the, what did they call it, the Pop Funko? I think the Pop Funko versions of Andrew at different events.
Yeah.
So it's along those lines.
Do you recall any, I'm feeling reminiscent, it's early. Do you recall any moment at KoopaCon where you were just like, just completely thrown in the moment?
Oh goodness.
Because I've watched footage back of the Warrior of Light to
Amy Harley, Lucretia.
To Harley, was. And I've seen the footage, and you are definitely like falling at the seams.
I've seen the footage back. Here's the thing, when we used to talk about that before the day itself came, the very thought of that was enough to kind of set me off, not necessarily in tears, but close enough, you know. I'd feel the burn in the eyes, but it wasn't as effective. It was still effective on the day itself, but I'd almost gone through the ropes and the routine so much before that, you kind of prepared myself a bit more. But other than that, I've definitely got some moments where I can stand up and say they were, those moments alone define what I've been doing all along and why I'm glad I've been involved from the beginning. But
I'm waiting.
I just don't know any moments where I've actually, like, from a very emotional perspective, kind of lost it or got close to that.
Oh, the worst one for me by a long shot was Toronto. I don't know if you recall, I was on stage and I literally had to turn my head from the crowd because I was so distraught.
I was at the side of the doors, and I think around the time I was finalising last bits and closing the merchandise, so I think I'd missed some chunks of the closing ceremony, but I do recall, and it was Scott in the end who went about for the Warrior of Light bit, because you were talking before that, and then I'd seen you had to narrate at some point, so yes, I recall bits of that all right.
Yeah, the crowd was just like, oh, I was like, oh God, don't do this to me, crowd. Like, I'm not. It was exhaustion. I was beyond exhausted. I've discussed this once before. Now I'm curious as to the moments that really stick in your head. Now's the time to tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try to think of some, like, especially ones that move me. But I do recall, I think the very first one that comes to mind is the Big Palm, where I think it's at the end of the day. And a couple came up to me, and they came up and said they're having such a wonderful day. And it was a husband and wife, and the husband's kind of standing behind. He seemed very crestfallen, and she was explaining to me that they had lost a loot bag and they couldn't find it. And he'd been collecting cards all day, and he's really loving it all. And it was getting missing. So I replaced as good as everything at that moment, and he had this look that's almost suggested like he'd never been given so much, like shown so much generosity in the past or something like that. It didn't seem like a big deal to me to give it all what I could, but he just seemed so moved by it. And, you know, she was so grateful, and the way he pulled me into this hug, I just felt, you know, that was just defined it for the whole event at that moment. But I'm quite sure there's other moments in different events. I just probably couldn't think of them on the spot right now, but I'll certainly I'll give it some thought for the next episode. We'll have a nostalgic minute.
I thoroughly enjoy the end of an episode the end of a KoopaCon where people come up and they go, you know, I had a great time, thank you for doing this. I remember specifically at Mind the Palm, I was stood there and people were coming up and thanking me for a great event. And little did I know that Dan Seto was stood right next to me. And he was waiting to talk to me. but people kept coming up to thank me for the event, and it just went on and on and on. Honest to God, I'm not exaggerating. 50 plus people. And Dan just kind of interrupted me. Look, I'm just going to interrupt, Alex. I'm Dan from Square Enix. I was like, hi, Dan. I've been so busy today. I haven't had a chance to talk to you. I didn't even know what he looked like. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I saw him, I recognized him. And he's like, look, you're obviously very busy. So I just wanted to say thanks for a great day. And I was thinking, how perfect that someone from Square would have stood that close while this was going down. Because, you know, we have discovered very recently that we actually do get discussed at Square quite a bit.
Yes. Oh, God.
That was quite a chilling moment, actually, you know? So I guess that we are turning some heads.
We're on the radar.
Hopefully, you know, and sometimes probably not for all the right reasons, but we are getting noticed for sure. Mm. But I said this to you a couple of days ago, and I'm going to say it on this podcast, that I personally feel that everything we have done for Pomathon is going to allow us to eclipse and rise above every other event we've ever produced.
Mm-hmm. This is the big one. To date, that is.
Yeah, to date. I feel like this is the one that, for me so far, of Generation 2, Vancouver was my favorite. I felt it was I had this unusual, I don't know, it was new, you know? Mm. And I have a feeling that Pomathon is going to be very, very special. And the evening celebration is obviously a big part of that.
Yes, naturally. It's quite a change as well from their, not just previous evening events, but even from Chaplis especially. I find it's going to be a very different atmosphere and environment. But it all just springs to mind, on the subject of Dan and Square Enix, it just comes to mind now when you mentioned that there will, as you say, they discuss this a bit in the offices, there's going to be a new community manager at some point down the line, so it'll be probably someone else we'll be getting acquainted with during some point.
You mean instead of Dan?
I just said, no, like, obviously there'll be somebody who'll be taking up his role.
I've already been directed in someone else's path, actually.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I forgot to mention. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because usually when I was working with the North American office, I'd be dealing with Kaori, and she's actually on maternity leave right now. And okay, this is awful. I made a joke, and Liam was like, oh, yeah, she's on maternity right now. And I was like, oh, yeah. I said, that baby will be late. Oh. Square Enix baby. It'll be late. God. Tough crowd. Anyway, yeah. Well, he's already directed us to someone else, and whoever picks up Dan's place in Europe will be working with them. You know, nothing's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
We'll certainly keep the doors open. But I think we'll be seeing. I think we'll keep seeing Dan. I don't think Dan's going anywhere.
Oh yeah, of course.
Well, if that's everything, I suggest that we wrap it up.
Yeah.
So I can go back to
surprisingly,
bed.
Surprisingly, it's it seems to be our longest episode to date. Surprisingly, we probably faffed more than we realized.
It's because we were reminiscing. Yeah. That's why. I apologize that there wasn't that much, news. I can tell you a few things. I'll just throw it in here. As I said, I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but the binders arrived. Thank you for the pre-orders. They have been shipped to the UK. They are on their way. The custom CooperCon stamps have arrived. They look great. We tested them yesterday. If you have upside down Moogles in your quest logs, you're going to have to deal with it. The new lanyards are shipping very soon, and we'll have them soon. Mogzart has become unusually popular now that everyone knows what it is, so we've reprinted another 100 copies, and they'll be available at upcoming events. And Pomathon, we've got more loot than you can possibly imagine. Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
There you go. Don't bother with the first 32 minutes of this. Just listen to the last two
just
minutes.
Just edit this so that this becomes at the beginning, and then shut it down.
I apologize for what probably sounds like groggy Alex, but it is early. I literally jumped out of bed, found my desk, and recorded this. That is my. This is my calling. I'm here to please our listeners.
Admittedly, I wasn't too long out of bed either, but mine's not as impressive.
No,
I got a bit exercising upstairs, but here we go. We got through the episode. This is it.
And well, ultimately, if our patron numbers keep going up, we're going to have to look at doing weekly episodes. Maybe we could find two different hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, two other people host the other episode, and we host the other two. And you know what I mean,
like, yeah,
alternate weeks kind of thing. But maybe that will happen, maybe it won't.
Yeah, and we can focus on different topics each time. By all means, you can structure this with a bit more finesse. So,
well, it would kind of be nice to have two people who aren't on the inside who can kind of, like, you know, make predictions and stuff like that.
They'd be more, you know, discussing from an attendee perspective, for example. Or,
yeah, and then we can come along the week after and just go, nope, that was all wrong. So anyway, yes. Well, I think we should wrap it.
Yeah, let's do that. So here we are, 36 minutes, but we'll see what the edit ends. So guys, thanks very much for listening once again, and we will catch you next episode, where we promise we will be in better condition, and from there we'll see how it goes. Till then, guys, thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.